Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod. Folks, it's a new week upon us. I'm recording this on Monday, April 8th. It's about the mid-morning time, and this is going to be a secondary episode on destroying obstacles. Today, we are talking about nutrition, and specifically the title to today's podcast episode is Destroying Obstacles. Nutrition Isn't Complicated. Now, if you're following along, the last episode was Training Isn't Complicated, and our first episode of Destroying Obstacles. And of course, these all have very general titles. There will be different aspects of each of them that we dive into a little bit deeper in future episodes, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. But the idea here is to demystify a lot of assumptions that people have on a regular basis with their health and even their performance. People assume that the training that they must do or must take part in on a regular basis must be fancy, must be complicated, must be this unique breadth and composition of reps and sets, rest periods, supersets, giant sets, circuit sets, four-time workouts, AMRAP workouts, zone two workouts. Yes, that is a part of good programming and good coaching. What we tend to forget is that simplicity is king and application is king. And then on top of that, consistency is king. And so none of your training should be overly complicated because none of that is sustainable for the long term for the vast majority of this audience that listen to this podcast. Now, I will say there are a lot of you that also partake in my content that do have a home gym, that do train at a high level, that do want to compete. And I'm here to even remind you to not put too much onus in the training that you probably even receive from me, where it's like, oh my gosh, I rested 92 seconds instead of 90. Oh my gosh, I didn't get 12 reps. I only got 10. Oh my gosh, the intended time cap or the intended time goal today was 12 minutes and it took me 13:02. Don't major in the minors. Stay focused on today and effort and attitude are the things that you can control. If your goal is to hit the intended stimulus and you're training in a wise way and you miss just by a little bit, don't get all up in your feels or all up in your head emotionally and create a negative response to a positive adaptation that is still taking place. On to today's topic, nutrition. Folks, what you put in your body is your nutrition. When people talk about dieting and diet, your diet is essentially the outline of what you fuel your body with. It's not a low-calorie diet specifically. It's not a high-calorie diet specifically. It's not a diet that omits carbohydrates. It's not a diet that omits bread or gluten or vegetables. For goodness sake, I mean, people are out there telling you not to eat vegetables, but that's a whole different deal. So diet and nutrition are sometimes words that people read and or even hear, and they're like, yo, this isn't something that I'm interested in. Well, yes, you are interested in it. And yes, there's one thing that all of us, every person walking the face of this earth have in common. And guess what, folks? It's that we got to put food in this in order to do all of this. We got to eat in order to live, in order to survive. So we all share that. We all do have interest in nutrition and interest in diet. Now, they might not be proper practices or practices that reflect something that will allow us to optimize longevity and or fulfillment here while we're on this earth, the time that we're given. But the bottom line is that this is a topic of interest to every single person. And we live in such a world, and I've harped on this in the last episode, and I'll harp on it continually today and in the future, that we don't do things in a human way. We are continually stepping further and further away from doing the things that our DNA is still primed to do. Move at intensities, move at low intensities, fend for ourselves, protect ourselves, and provide a way of protecting from a perspective of shelter and providing from a perspective of nourishment for ourselves and our families. And because of how we live and because of the way that we protect and or provide now, it looks so very different. And fuel is a big component of that. Of course, we live in a time now where we are constantly surrounded by refined foods and processed foods, processed carbohydrates. Foods are full of additives. We are specifically in westernized cultures getting a ton of added sugar. or sugar alcohols or artificial sweeteners in all of our foods. And then on top of that, we're cooking with sometimes oils that are less than optimal that provide or correlate to a high level of inflammation that isn't necessarily individually dangerous or bad, but because of the way that we already live and the way that we already eat on top of those oils, it kind of exacerbates or expounds the responses that we get. So what I want to do on this episode today is kind of lay a foundation of why nutrition isn't complicated and some common practices and considerations that you and every human walking the face of this earth should make. Let us begin. You guys know that I work for CrossFit headquarters, and I don't mean that I work for like I'm an employee, but they do contract me as someone who teaches their seminars. So I know their methods. I believe in their methods. I practice their methods and I've practiced their methods of prescription with nutrition since 2010. And in my book, it is completely undefeated. I'll help you understand this before I dive into the details. I met my wife. I'll say this. My wife and I started seriously dating in 2010. And this was the time that I was having my first exposure, diving headlong into CrossFit. I hadn't lived a completely healthy life, although I'd always chased performance as an athlete. I hadn't paid very much attention to my diet, even though I was a Division I football player on scholarship. Like, I was just told to eat and eat as much as I could, basically, whatever was in front of me. And when I took my level one and they gave me the simple outline of what it looked like to practice appropriate nutrition, they suggested that I try to dabble with food elimination for some time so that I understood what worked well with my body and what didn't. So I removed grains from my diet. I removed legumes from my diet. I removed dairy from my diet. And I did this in order to see what I responded well to and how it affected my training and my body composition and my sleep and all those things. And I was doing all of this while my wife and I were beginning our journey together and our lives together. So what this looked like is that she saw me from the outside in and she was dabbling in it too. We would cook dinners together sometimes, a few nights a week. And we really had a huge cheat code in the timing of things, which I believe that God's always kind of orchestrated and worked, at least in my life. And it really set us up for success in our marriage, even the way that we raise our children, the way that we grocery shop now, 13 years later, that we have this influence of, and this is kind of where I get into the nutrition specific talk, meats and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. Now we eat this way probably 90 to 95% of our lives. And I don't even mean that as an exaggeration. You know, we've done it for so long that it's so automatic for us. You know, it's not like you would come into our house and see like Cheez-Its or Doritos or chips in the pantry. Now, because we have two children, one that's seven about to be and one that's five, we certainly have maybe small bags there. We've got some snacks that my wife and I don't regularly partake in, but are available to our kids when they want a treat. And we deem that they are allowed to have a treat, not necessarily deserve it, but we think that the timing is right. We believe that they've had enough whole foods for a particular day or time window between then and the last treat. Balance is something that we want them to learn as they grow. But my point is that when we think about our day in and day out activities as a family and what we go to the grocery store and what we have in our house readily available for us, it's typically high levels of whole foods. That's what you'll find us eating at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's going to be all of us kind of going our own separate ways for snacks. We always eat dinner together. I make breakfast for the children on most days and have breakfast with them. That's my time with them. My wife is typically getting everything else ready to rock and roll in the house for the day when we're doing that. So we've got these systems in place that have fared us very well, but we set them all up intentionally, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest setbacks with nutrition and why people think it's complicated is because what they try to do is they try to fit a healthier lifestyle into their already busy schedule. And what I'm here to kind of shake up for you as an individual, and I'm here to give you a sober realization, is that you probably can't live the way that you're currently living and completely change your lifestyle habits. You probably can't go from eating food on the go, fast food on the go, grabbing something from the pantry on your way out that is like a Pop-Tart, or heating something up in the microwave that is like a Hot Pocket, I don't even know if those are still sold anymore, or just giving your kids like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles and then getting out the door, and then completely change what you want them to fuel with, and then still be on the same kind of timeline, still be on the same kind of morning practices, still be on the same kind of ritualistic things that you're used to, whether it's sleeping in, whether it's watching TV, whether it's dabbling on your phone too much, that limits your time for the other things. And the more, what I would beg to really emphasize, the more important things. So time is something that you're going to need when you understand that, man, nutrition is important to me and nutrition is something that I want to change and make better in my life. You might need more time. And I'm going to encourage you that whatever you have to cut out to get that time to shop better, to maybe learn a little more, to food prep, to sit down and eat in silence, in the absence of entertainment and or your phone, but with other humans, like these are all things that matter. Chew your food more times and slowly in a meal. Those are things that are associated with like what we would categorize as food hygiene. Now, I know I said this podcast is called Nutrition Isn't Complicated. And you're like, man, Adrian, this kind of sounds complicated. Well, this is how I live. And the reason it's not complicated to me is because I've been doing it for 13 years. And the reason that sounds complicated to you is because you, of course, cannot start where I currently am. And there are a lot of people who make that assumption that, well, I see influencers doing this and I see athletes doing that. Well, I should do that, right? Like I should do exactly what they're doing. Well, I'm here to tell you that that probably won't work. And it will work for some period of time, a very short period of time, and then you won't be able to sustain it any longer. So in another month, it will be like you had made no changes whatsoever. Excuse me, I enjoy coffee, and when it hits my lips, it's just I've got to give a little pause there. It's an ode of respect to the deliciousness there. Nutrition has to meet you where you currently are, like your practices. So for example, when I give this nutrition lecture and I explain to people the importance of it and how they can start to apply it to their lives, it's not that if you typically drink a few cans of soda a day that you should quit cold turkey your soda, or that because you have donuts every day for breakfast or cold cereal every day for breakfast that you should never have it again. Those aren't the things that I'm interested in having someone do, and those aren't the things that I suggest that you do. The things that I suggest are adding whole foods to your diet wherever you're at to start. So what that means is that don't change anything in your diet except add in perhaps more water, because hydration is a fantastic way to add in more nourishment and to help you feel more satiated through the day to avoid the food addictive type responses that we have with processed food and sugar laden foods. So it will make your belly feel a little bit more fuel. It'll make sure that your muscles are full of water. It will make sure that your metabolic processes are tuned up and ready to rock and roll. Sometimes people assume they need to eat more fiber and they simply need to start by just simply drinking more water in order to be more consistent and regular with their bathroom trips. So all those things considered, a top of water, add whole foods. And this could look like something simple if you have a sweet tooth, is adding an apple to your diet every day. Add an apple to your morning breakfast every day. Start there before you take away the cereal. Have the cereal, but you know what? Eat the cereal after you eat the apple. See if you eat less cereal. See if you might crave it in a different way or a little less. And I would almost guarantee that you will. Then after some time, after you added that apple, maybe you can add a vegetable somewhere in the day as well. And maybe that looks like a cup of spinach cooked into your dinner because you don't really like the taste. Or maybe that means broccoli slathered in cheese. And again, when we're talking about food quality, I'm okay with these things to start. And then the whole idea is to get you closer and closer to the source of the whole foods so that we can eat them more consistently in your diet. You got to meet yourself where you're at. Then there's a step process that takes place that eventually gets you to something that may be the way that I live. I don't weigh and measure my food every day. You know why? Because I've weighed and measured my food for months at a time for several years. Not all year long, but I might go a month straight weighing and measuring everything I put into my face. Then I might take off 4 months. Then I might do another month. Then I might take off 6 months. Then I do another month. Then I might take off a year. Then do 2 months. But you get the idea. Over the period of 13 years of me living this pretty healthy lifestyle, training hard, being mindful of the quality of food that I eat all the time, I don't need to weigh and measure to quantify. I have a pretty good idea. Now, because I'm human, and innately, even the fittest of humans, even the healthiest of humans, even the most disciplined of humans will start to lean towards their preference. What I mean by that is I enjoy protein. I love meat. I like a good steak. I love high quality bison. I really do enjoy eating. So from my 5 ounces turns to 6.5 ounces real quick when I'm weighing and measuring my food, right? My half cup of blueberries turns into a cup of blueberries real quick. Now you guys are like, well, that's pretty healthy food. And it is healthy food, team. I'm not vilifying eating too many blueberries, but what I am helping you understand is that there's levels to this. And once I get outside of quality food and I already consume quality food, my body desires quality food. The more often I eat it, I know this for a fact, the more often I eat quality food, the more that I crave it. The more often that I eat processed and refined food, the harder it is for me to crave whole foods. And I want to remind you of that today, that you've got to start and force whole foods in order to enjoy them and crave them. You got to learn how to prepare them at first. You got to put a little extra cheese on them at first. You got to salt them a little bit more at first, all these things, but you got to step away from processed food. If you do not step away from processed food, your brain will not free you from the desire for it. It is addictive. It's addictive. So you got to have less of it and increase it in the whole food side. If you continue to increase it, you will, this sounds crazy, but you will continue to desire it more. You'll find ways that you might be able to add less cheese. You'll find ways that you can cook it and prepare it differently that allow it to be closer to its whole food, origin state. It's because then our body will absorb it. It will become us better. It will help us thrive more. So there are levels to this, but when it comes to quantification, which means weighing and measuring, bringing accuracy and precision to our diets, there's something that you have to understand that if you want to be 5% body fat, if you want to go from 15% body fat to 12% body fat, like you have to quantify food. You have to, if you want to do it consistently. And if you see people out there not weighing and measuring their food and they're jacked and they're lean and it seems like they eat whatever they want and they do. Now, there are people, we all have different genetics. So yes, that's true. Two, you have to understand that they've probably earned this. And here's what I mean when I say this. And I heard my good friend Dave Lipson talk about this on social media. It was a great post the other day. If you guys don't follow him on social media, you should. But his name is Dave Lipson. You can look a little. I don't know what his Instagram handle is right now off the top of my head. Excuse me. But he said something that rang very true. And I was like, man, that's so true and so real. And people need to hear it, is that flexible dieting is this thing that allows people to eat kind of what they want when they want, but adhere to certain parameters like macronutrients that help them create this optimal body composition or lifestyle that they're looking for. But flexible dieting is very elusive. And what I mean by that is that without proper structure and without the proper amount of time and repetitions under formal structure, people won't get the results that they want and need from flexible dieting, choosing to eat whatever they want, whenever they want, and get great results because they're already undisciplined. You are listening to this, and if you're listening to this because you need help with nutrition, you're likely undisciplined, you're likely unstructured, and you likely fly by the seam of your pants on a day in and day out basis. You need to be controlled. You need to be told what to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people don't like to hear those words. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Oh, I get to do what I want to do. This is my life. How what? How'd you end up where you're at? Why do you need help? It's because you need someone to tell you what to do and when to do it and how much to eat of it and how to prepare it. So you need to be guided, and you need to be guided quite sternly with some tight guardrails. Now, after reps and after time under tension doing that, after you already experienced great benefits and great results, but it's hard and it's stringent and it's structured, and you're like, man, I don't know if I want to keep this up all my life, but you've already hit your stride, then you start to understand, how do we loosen the reins a little and keep getting the same results though? Well, maybe you don't have to eat 5 times a day. Maybe you can break it into 4 meals because I know you're busy, and that let's start there. So we loosen the reins maybe on eating frequency or times a day that you eat. Then maybe we can loosen the reins a little bit on, like, hey, instead of being so structured, making sure that you always get 800 grams of fruits and vegetables, we're not so concerned as long as you stay within the macronutrient profile that we've established. So there's still some weighing and measuring, still some quantifying. I'm going to be a little bit less specified on food quality or a little bit less specified on exactly what you eat. Go get it. And we see how that goes. And then all of a sudden, you might find yourself with success and proper steps in a place where flexible dieting is really what you're doing, right? You've got a flexible window. You've got flexible foods you can choose from. You're hitting your macronutrients. You're still training. You're still doing things consistently. But remember, team, when you get to that point, you've earned it already. So if you see people out there that are influencers and it looks like they're eating whatever they want, they've done this, I guarantee you they've done years and months of strict dieting, strict weighing and measuring, and they've put in the time and effort. And of course, they're training at a high level too. They understand their body. And if they're influencers or coaches, hopefully they've been living this lifestyle for a long time and just have a high adherence, and that's how they're able to teach other people to do it. But I just wanted to demystify this whole idea that, well, it's kind of like just doing whatever and like being whatever, and then like you can weigh and measure. And it's like, no, I don't think that that's actually how you have success. So there was a time in my coaching career where I'd even vilify challenges. I'd vilify the idea of like 6-week weight loss, 8-week weight loss programs. But you know, after dealing with humans for so long, and here's why I want to frame this too. And I think good coaches see this too. It's like, hey, we're going to vilify weight loss challenges and boot camps and all this stuff because it's not sustainable. That's so stupid. It's not sustainable. Shut your mouth. Of course, it's not sustainable. No one wants to live like that the rest of their life. But also, people need momentum. People need structure. People need to be told what to eat. People need to be told when to eat. People need to be told how to prepare their food. People need to be told what needs to be on the grocery list. People need to be told these things because they find themselves in their current circumstance. Not because you should continue to encourage them to do whatever they want and just it fits in the macros. No, because that's not realistic for them to start with and be able to adhere to long term. They're not going to really see a change. They need help and understanding. This is how you create momentum. This is the structure. This is how it gets done. Let's get some amazing results for 6 to 8 weeks. And then all of a sudden, now we talk about how we're going to apply this to your life so you can do this forever. And there's structure to it. Again, stringent, structured, focused, and we adapt to how can we do this forever. And that's why you need help. That's why you need a coach, and that's why you need guidance. And that's why as a human, we now struggle to be human because of this world that we've created around us. We don't train. We don't move. It's foreign. We don't know how to even move our human body to do human things. We don't know how to squat down. We don't know how to sprint. We don't know how to jump. We don't know how to do these things because we don't have to do these things. But we do need to do these things if we want to be happy, if we want to create this body that we can live in for many, many years. If you want to make it to the Century Club and you want to be living a life full in your years, then you want to be doing these things. And nutrition is a huge, if not the most vital component of this journey, is how to fuel. And all of us need help and all of us need guidance in how to do this because of how we live and how this world is designed around us. Now, with all that considered, the transition often from that stringent structured place is like it needs to be treaded lightly. And I've said one key component and one key focus, and we're 22 minutes into this, about to be 23 minutes, and I apologize. I get off on tangents. Eat meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. What I want you to think about when you think about nutrition isn't complicated is shopping the perimeter of the grocery store. Stay away from the aisles. Get some bread if you need it. Try to think about the best sourced bread that you can find. Our family, we eat sourdough bread. There's a few brands that we're cool with, but sourdough is good for, like, it helps. I respond well to it physiologically. It doesn't make me retain water. I don't feel fluffy. It doesn't make me bloated. Whole grains, all those 7 grains and wheat bread and all that, I avoid those all together. So people out there eating brown bread and stuff, I mean, good for you. Maybe you need fiber for that, but I eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, and I don't need brown bread. I want white bread, simple, and I want it dense in carbohydrates and yummy in my tummy. So sourdough is the way that we go. The less processed, the better. So sometimes the price point's a little bit higher on that. We avoid the bakery when we're out shopping the perimeter of the grocery store, but this allows you to hit the butcher. It allows you to hit the deli. It allows you to hit what dairy products that you can eat and drink for you specifically. Again, I want to suggest that everybody take 3 weeks. Take 3 weeks and cut out dairy. Reintroduce it and see how you respond. Then take another 3 weeks and completely omit grains. No bread, no pasta, no nothing. 3 weeks, don't do it. Then reintroduce it. See how you respond. Then do the same thing with legumes. And if you need more details on legumes, look them up. But do this because there is a high level of people in our society that have, intolerances, slight intolerances to these foods, or they have like autoimmune responses. Now, autoimmune are the high level responses where our body starts to feed on itself when we consume foods like this. But for the most part, they're low level responses, but Maybe you have more bags under your eyes when you eat dairy or drink milk, or maybe you feel like you have mucusy or you're phlegmy in your training. But these are lessons that you only learn by removing them. So remove them first and bring them back in. So that's a food quality consideration for everyone. You should all make this. Sometimes through periods of life, you're going to be more responsive to dairy and less responsive to bread. And sometimes it'll be vice versa. So periodically, you got to do this too to check in on yourself. Shop the perimeter grocery store. Hit the deli. Hit the butcher. Hit all the veggies and fruits. Learn what a good vegetable is. Learn what it looks like. Learn what it feels like. And this only comes from reps. You can look at YouTube videos. You can go get resources. We're going to come out with some PDFs that help people identify high quality foods. Also, seasonal grocery shopping. You know, we've got great PDFs that are available that are going to understand seasonally what vegetables you should find, because people be like, yeah, hey, buy seasonal vegetables. Well, guess what? Humans don't grow vegetables on a regular basis anymore. They don't know what's seasonal and what's not. So we have resources that'll help you do that. But learn these things, allow these things to become ingrained in your human nature. So then you can start to have an idea what maybe you should be feeding yourself and feeding your family throughout the year. And what are optimal times to find the highest quality and good tasting foods there? Learn how to prepare real foods differently. Grill your vegetables, folks. That was undefeated for me when I first started consuming things like asparagus, Brussels sprouts, peppers, onions, corn on the cob, can't beat it. Like, there are things that I grew up eating that I didn't really enjoy. And it was just because the way that we ate them or ate them out of a can, they weren't fresh and we weren't charring them or we weren't seasoning them a certain way. And as an adult, I learned to experiment with things and it really has changed the way that I look at real food. I mean, I love grilling asparagus. I love Brussels sprouts. And as a kid, sick, absolutely disgusting. There are so many things, mushrooms, grilled mushrooms. And I'm not saying that grilled is going to be the way that you enjoy it. You might want to saute these foods. You might want to cook them with the protein sources that you're cooking in, and they get a little bit of that fatty flavor added to them. Like, whatever it is, again, you have to explore it and practice it, but shop the perimeter of the grocery store. Even if this means you have to buy freezer based vegetables. Sometimes people live a busy life. Sometimes you're the single female, single male out there. You're living the hustle and bustle. You got the roommates, you're doing the thing. You don't got enough room for all this fresh produce. You can't make it to the grocery store twice a week to make sure that it stays fresh or whatever. Maybe you have a large family too. I don't know. There are bags of frozen vegetables with non-additives that you can pop in a bag. Now, again, there's going to be people out there that are like, Adrian, you shouldn't heat food up in plastic and all this. Listen, there's levels to this. I don't expect you to always buy organic or farm raised or pasture raised or whatever it is, like the descriptors that some people just throw out there to make you want to spend more money on food. Like, don't worry about that stuff. That's majoring in the minors to me. To me, you need to get started by eating a diet rich in meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. You need to do this 90% of the time. Then the other 10%, guess what that means? And when I say sugar, folks, real quick, that means added sugar. People who out there vilifying fruit, like, what is wrong with you? What is really wrong with you, though? Like, it's fructose. It's fine. Eat it. You're designed to eat it. Well, Adrian, the vegetables and the fruit aren't the same as they once were a long, long time ago. That's okay. Thanks for sharing. Also, don't tell someone not to eat them. Thank you. Appreciate it if you do that. Because I don't see any increases in all-cause mortality, or I don't see a lot of people walking around here very obese and unhealthy that are like, yeah, man, I tend to overeat vegetables and fruits so much that I am, you know, I'm 300 pounds and I'm 42% body fat. Like, I don't see that. And I don't see the evidence that talks about people that eat more vegetables and fruit are increased all-cause mortality compared to people that don't. I don't see that. So I'm going to be sitting here telling people to eat more fruits and vegetables till I probably leave this earth, because you probably can't eat enough. In fact, I always joke with people and say that I am far from vegan or vegetarian. I smash the protein, but I also think I eat more real fruits and vegetables than most vegetarians do, because they nowadays, and I'm not speaking for you, I'm just speaking from what I see, folks. A lot of people that choose that lifestyle now eat things that are so meat-like and processed and come from a package that they're so far away from what original vegan and vegetarianism intended on it being, that it looks nothing like the practical application that once existed either. So we could all use some work and all use some help. Team, there's going to be a follow-up to this. I'm approaching the 30-minute mark. I wanted to keep these pretty short, and I failed you. I hope you still enjoy the content. I hope that it's something that you find entertainment in as you listen to me rant. But also, I hope that it creates a conviction in you. I hope that you leave here and you want to look up some of these PDFs that I said that we carry. Please feel free to email us at info@TTRUFitness, info@TRUFitness. If you're interested in any of the PDFs that I've talked about, ones that help guide and help you find seasonal vegetables and understand which ones are ones to look for, and also maybe how to identify certain fruits and vegetables in regards to the good, bad, or indifferent, because I know those are common pitfalls and struggles that people have when they go to the grocery store and they stand there staring at the produce like, help me, what do I buy? So reach out to us if you want that info at truefitness.com. Shoot us an email and just say, PDF request in the title. And folks, I'm going to have a follow-up episode here. It will be Destroying Obstacles, Nutrition Isn't Complicated, version 2. And we're going to talk about quantification, how much of food you should eat and how much you should prioritize. Where does this fit in the order of operations? And why sometimes people bite off more than they can chew too soon. And I mean that literally, not just figuratively, with nutrition. Because they try to put the cart before the horse. They try to want to dive in and weigh and measure everything before they're even focused on quality. And why I, as a coach and as a human peer, suggest the opposite. But hey, next time you make a trip to the grocery store, stay to the outside, avoid the added sugars, and eat meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar 90% of the time. Then 10% of the time, go off the rails and have your fun. Have your cake. And yes, yes, eat it too. We'll catch up on another episode of Destroying Obstacles, Nutrition Isn't Complicated, Volume 2. And in the meantime, keep rising.